talking about deacons. So, yeah. Look, I said this last week. I'll say it again today. Sermon on elders, sermon on deacons, these are important passages for us as we are the church, okay? As a church, these are passages that we need to look at when we think about the household of God and what God is doing and how we should be living in relationship with one another. And at the same time, it feels a little bit like a lecture. It feels more like a lecture than a sermon, okay? I'm sorry. I don't really know what to do other than just say, this is what the text says. Let's learn from it and let's try to apply it to us as a group, even though you might be like, I don't really know what I'm going to do with that. I'll just trust the Spirit to lead you in that, okay? And what you should do and how you should respond to this text and what it should look like in your life. And it's also a little odd because we don't have deacons at Capstone Church yet, okay? That's what I would put on the end of that line. We're one of the things we're going to be talking about here at the end of this year is that. And so we'll get to that at the end of this passage. But if you'd like to fill in blanks, you can grab this card here. We'll walk through these things together. 1 Timothy chapter 3, we'll look at Acts chapter 6, and then we'll have some fun after that. 1 Timothy 3, Paul writing to Timothy, who again, he's pastoring the church at Ephesus, okay? So you got Timothy, who's the pastor of the church at Ephesus. Ephesus is a really key city in first century life and even in the church because, you know, Paul goes to Ephesus in Acts. He writes a letter to the Ephesians, and then he writes two letters to young Timothy in Ephesus, right? So Paul's got a lot going on in serving the church there. He says, deacons likewise, just talked about elders. And remember last week, elder, shepherd, pastor, overseer, same thing, okay? Same person or people as elders. Deacons, likewise, he says, must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. Let them also be tested first, then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. Their wives, likewise, must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Let deacons be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their own household well. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. Okay, we'll talk about all this here in just a minute, but I want to read Acts chapter 6, which is where we see the first deacons. It says this, now in the days when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of food. And the 12 summoned together a full number of the disciples and said, it is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among yourselves 7 men of good repute, full of the spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And what they said pleased the whole gathering. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas, the proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid hands on them, and the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Okay, so it's the two passages we're going to look at today and talk about deacons, all right? Now, the word deacon is a transliteration of a Greek word, diakonos, which means servant, okay? That's all it means is servant. The word deacon does not mean green sports coats and Baptist. It means servants, okay? And I'm going to let my Baptist show a little bit today, all right? I'm going to just tell y'all that. I know our church is, we have people from all sorts of backgrounds here, okay? And I love that. I love that we're a church that has people that have irreligious backgrounds, that have Catholic backgrounds, have all kind of, you know, Methodist, Presbyterian, Baptist, Assembly of God, all those things. I love that, Church of Christ. I am thoroughly Baptist, okay? I grew up in a Southern Baptist church. I went to a Southern Baptist undergrad. I went to a Southern Baptist seminary. I served Southern Baptist churches until I came here. I am as Baptist as a casserole dish, okay? I am, okay? And I own that. Like I love that. And I love how I've grown and how I was saved in that church and how God has taught me his word and so many faithful men and women that poured into me, okay? I am. And so I understand a Southern Baptist view of deacons really well, all right? The thing that I would tell you, though, is I don't want to be more Baptist than I am Bible, right? Like, I know in that world, like, women cannot be deacons, and they have a different view of what deacons look like than what I would see in the Bible. And I would just tell you that, like, the thing that's hard when you come to something like this, if you have a church background, is every one of us read our background into text like this, okay? And what I want to invite you to today is not do that. I want us to just see what the Bible says about this, and let's learn and grow in what they should do. Here's your first point, okay? I've already spoiled it. Deacons are men and women that possess certain qualities, okay? Men and women that possess certain qualities. I've already heard this, and it's fine. I'll hear it some more. It's cool. We're not making a liberal shift theologically here, okay? It's not, I mean, that's kind of funny to me that people, it's like last, 2 weeks ago, I made everybody, you make everybody mad for talking about men and women having different roles, and then now you talk about this, and they're like, see, liberals. It's not that, okay? It's not that. Men and women possess, the deacons are men and women who possess certain qualities, all right? And I think we see this in the text, and I think we see it in the New Testament. And I'm going to nerd out on you here for a minute, okay? Romans chapter 16, okay, we see Phoebe is called a servant, which is the word diakonos, okay? He says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant, okay? It's an interesting thing to me that we, and I taught, if you were here Wednesday night and talk, we talked about the Bible and translations and things like that, and I talked about every single translation of, so we have all these translations. We got the King James, the New King James, the NIV, the ESV, the TNIV, the CSB, there's just so many good English translations of the Bible, okay? All because it began with William Tyndale, who translated the first Bible into English and was killed for it, okay? He was killed because he wanted us to be able to know God's word in our own language. And all these translations, and I'm a fan. I told everybody Wednesday night, like, you know what translation of the Bible that I want you to read? The one you will read and obey, all right? Like, you don't, like, people are like, which one's best? The one that you read's the best one, right? Like, you can own a bunch of Bibles and they not do anything to you. Read it and obey it, and I promise you when you do that, the Spirit will change you, okay? But the thing is about any Bible translation, and every translation in some ways is an interpretation. So every translation, because you're taking something from one language, Greek and Hebrew, two languages, really three, Aramaic, all right? You're taking it from that, and you're bringing it into a new language that it wasn't originally written in. The translators can't help but interpret some things, okay? Like, interpretation means, what does this mean? You tracking with me on that? So, like, every translation has some interpretation in it, even if the people are trying really hard not to do that. Because there are some words that you can, that mean the same thing, okay? There's some words that mean the same thing. The word deacon, it means deacon, it means servant, I mean, it means both of those things. And so here the translators choose to translate the word diakonos, servant, instead of deacon, which would have been the right translation as well. It would have been right for them to translate the word, she's a servant at the church here. It would have been right for them to translate this deacon. Okay, that you should welcome her and the Lord in a way worthy of the saints and help her in whatever she may need from you. For she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. Okay, he says you should see her. She's the first one called this, okay, in Romans 16. Phoebe, a woman, is called a servant. A couple other textual clues I would get you. And again, I'm going to nerd out on you, and then we'll get to it. All right, go back to in 1 Timothy, okay, chapter 3. A couple of things that I would say that the Bible is proving here that men and women can and should both serve as deacons are this, okay? First is the use of the word likewise in verses 8 and 11, okay? That's the baptistry draining, okay? I hit the wrong button. I'm just telling everything today. I also chunked a chlorine tablet in there last night when I filled it up, and that's why it looked a little green or yellow, okay? You're like, I wonder why this, is this that water from last week? No, it's not. I over-chlorined it. I don't know that I'm gonna be able to pay attention with that, though, I'll be honest. Textual clues. The use of the word likewise. Okay, so he says, elders do this. Likewise, deacons should do this. And then in verse 11, he says, likewise, their wives should do this. Okay? So those are, there seems like there's three, you know, he's talking about different people here. The other thing I would point you to in verse 11, okay, where it says, their wives likewise must be dignified. Okay, again, nerdy Greek stuff for you. The word there is not in the original language. Okay? It's not. What the original language says is likewise blank. Not, the word there is inferred here by the ones that translated this. Okay? The other thing that is interesting when we talk about translations is the word wives here, the word in the Greek for women and wives is the same word. Okay? Like it's the same word. You would be right in translating this passage likewise women. You'd be just as correct, which is why I'm saying to you, like there's a level of interpretation that goes into translation. The NIV actually translates this likewise women, okay? And there's other places the NIV royally screws up, okay? As far as like there would have been a much better way to translate something. But they got it right here, okay? I would say I think the ESV got this one wrong, okay? I think they got it wrong here. I think from my understanding of the text and my study and listening to godly men and women that that know the Bible and know it better than I do, it would seem like the right way to translate this is not their wives, because their isn't in here. It's inferred. The word wives is also correctly translated women. And the other big question that we have had as elders, we've talked about moving forward in this, is it seems unlikely that Paul would give qualifications for wives of deacons when he didn't give qualifications for wives of elders, right? Like he doesn't say elders should be this way and elders' wives should be this way. Well, that seems really inconsistent with Paul's writing. Number one, because the wives of elders arguably is more important for them to be qualified than the wives of deacons, because the wives of elders are shepherding the body of Christ and ministering the word of God and have spiritual authority over the church. So if he's talking about wives of deacons here, that seems inconsistent with Paul, because you would think he would have talked about wives of elders if that were the case. And if you go, well, maybe that was an oversight. Well, that Paul doesn't really have oversights when it comes to stuff like this. Go read all of Paul's letters. When he addresses groups of people, he addresses everyone. He says in Titus, the older men should do this, the younger men should do this, the older women should do this, the younger women should do this. He says, husbands live this way, wives live this way, children live this way, parents live this way, slaves live this way, slave owners live this way. Just over and over and over. Paul is a meticulous writer and giving instruction to the church. So it seems that it would be really inconsistent with Paul's writings that he's addressing the wives of deacons when he didn't address the wives of elders, when it also seems really clear that this passage could very easily be translated not their wives, but likewise women, inferring women deacons. And that's what we think, okay? We believe that women can and should serve the church in the role of deacon. I would argue they already are, okay? If a deacon is a lead servant in the church, They're leading out and serving the body of Christ. Look around. Right? Look around. Who are the lead servants in any church you've ever been in? Let me tell you who they are. They're women. I tell you, I said this before, looking at you again, Miss Mickey. There you're sitting in the same spot you're sitting last time. I've never been a part of a church that wasn't served by women in a way that if they stopped doing it, the church would cease to exist. Every church I've ever been in, all right? Praise God for that. Women are lead servants, okay? They lead out in serving. And we think that also fills in the role of deacon, right? Because God created men and women with equal value and usefulness, but with different gifts and abilities, it seems reasonable to us that men and women are both permitted to serve in the role of deacon. And I would argue, and actually Tom Schreiner argues this point. Tom Schreiner is a professor at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. It's as Baptist as it can be, okay? And he says this. He says, not only are women permitted to serve as deacons, they're actually preferred in some places. Because of how God has wired women, how God has gifted women differently than he's gifted men, that there are some roles that women just are, by the Spirit, are more fitting to serve, right? So that's all that. I hope that isn't controversial to you. If it is, you can email andy@capstonechurch.org and he'll answer all of your questions, okay? So if men and women are deacons, okay, can serve as deacons, then what? Who are they? Who are the kind of people we're looking for, and what is it that they would do, okay? Well, he gives us a list. Thank you, Paul, for a list. First, this sermon only has 12 points, and the last sermon had 1,200 points, it felt like, okay? You had a whole other sheet of paper last week. Who are these people, okay? What kind of people are we looking for to lead out in serving the church in this way? Number one, they're dignified, okay? They're dignified. They have dignity. Two, they're not double-tongued, meaning they don't say one thing to one person and another thing to somebody else. Three, they're not addicted to much wine. Four, they're not greedy for dishonest gain. So they have dignity. They're not liars. They aren't drunks. They aren't greedy. Seems like a low bar, doesn't it? I mean, they're Christians. Five, they hold to the faith with a clear conscience. They're not wishy-washy. They're not like, I could take it or leave it, whether I'm going to be a believer or not. I'm not sure whether I'm a Christian. Six, if married, they're committed to their spouse. Again, I don't think, this is, again, it says one woman man here, okay? I talked about this last week, but it doesn't. The requirement for being married and being a deacon, I would say, is the same as for elders. Like, Paul was single. Paul the apostle, who's writing this, instructing the church, was single. Are you telling me that Paul couldn't be a deacon here? If that's the case, then that's wrong, okay? If Paul rolls in and wants to be a deacon, he can be one, right? Same thing with Jesus. Seven, they manage their homes and their children well. They're good managers of their home, good managers of their children. Eight, they have a good reputation. They kind of go over to Acts chapter 6. He says, we're looking for men who are of good repute. Okay, they have a good reputation. And they are people that are full of the Holy Spirit and full of wisdom. This is the kind of people that you look for to serve the church in the office of deacon. And like we talked about last week with elders, there's the office of elder or shepherd, and then there's people that shepherd. But like every one of us have a responsibility to shepherd one another, right? There's one another shepherding that happens for all of us, and we have men that are set aside in this office of shepherd, or pastor. Same thing's true of serving. All of us are called to serve the church, okay? All of us are to serve one another, to serve Jesus, serve his church. That's for all of us. All Christians should be servers. And the office of deacon is people that are set aside to lead out in that, okay? They're ministry leaders in the sense that they lead out in serving the local church to accomplish the mission of the church. That's who they are. Next, what do they do, okay? What is it that we see in the Bible that deacons should be doing? Three things that kind of hopefully encapsulate that. One is they meet the needs of the body. That's what started in Acts chapter 6, right? In Acts chapter 6, there was a need that arose. And so they set aside some people to meet that need. They meet the needs of the body. So that, right, like with the apostles there, and that's a loose thing. I'm not saying the elders are apostles. I'm not saying that at all. But it is a loose thing to point to say, hey, elders or pastors should focus their ministry, their time on prayer and ministry of the word. So they can do that, we need deacons that can meet the needs of the body so that it frees those guys up to do that. Right? That's kind of the picture there in Acts chapter 6. Two, they support the ministry of the church. They're buttressing up the ministry of the church, right? That's what kind of get that they serve the needs of the body, and in doing so, it supports the ministry of the church so that the other things can go on. And then third, they maintain the unity of the church. Deacons should be people that unify the church. And if you know much about deacons in America, that hasn't always been the case. Deacons have been a point of contention and a point of disunity, not a point of unity. And what do we see in Acts chapter 6? We see these people serving this way, doing these things, and what happens? What is the response to this happening? The word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. The ministry continued on. They took this. So you can imagine, okay? This is in Acts chapter 6, there's Greek or Hellenist widows, and there's Jewish widows, and their complaint is, my grandmother isn't getting enough food. Well, that's a problem, right? If my grandmother's not getting enough food because I'm Greek and your grandmother's getting plenty of food because she's Jewish, we got a problem on our hands. And it's a real one. I mean, you talk about splitting a church. You can split a church over not giving Momo enough food, right? That seems like a reasonable thing to be upset about. And it could have split. I mean, it could have. It could have caused a major division. But what do they do? They say, no. Here, let's figure this out. Let's figure this out. Let's call some people together. Let's set aside some people to oversee this so that we can not be distracted from the ministry of the word, prayer ministry of the word. But that this is really important. So it's not saying that we're going to focus ourselves on this. So we're going to set you people apart to focus on this. And what does it do? It maintains the unity of the church, right? That's what happens. And look, unity is not uniformity. We're not saying that. Unity is not trying to get you to be yes men and do whatever I say. I that's garbage, okay? Unity isn't uniformity, but unity is something that we work towards and strive towards together. I mean, Paul says that we need to be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, that unity is something that has to be maintained. We have to strive towards it. And if we don't strive towards it, disunity is always in the corners, okay? The enemy would love nothing more to cause disunity and disruption in the church. I mean, you see it. I talk to pastors all the time. Churches are going two different ways. Josh and I were talking this week with a brother about this. He was talking about their church, and he was saying, hey, you got this group doing this and this group doing this. And Josh said, yes, because you have two churches. Which he was right. Josh is a prophet, by the way. I don't know if you guys know that about him, all right? Josh will cut through the you-know-what to get to the what's going on. We got to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And I've told you this before. Like, I heard this analogy and thought it was great. You know, like when you come upon an issue in the church, and we have our issues, we're going to have our issues, hopefully for the next 40 years, okay? When you come upon one of those, you have two options. You have an option to pour gas on it and make it bigger, or pour water on it. And the thing we ask you to do as members, and the things that deacons help us to do, is to always pour water on those fires. It doesn't mean we act like they aren't there. It just means we're going to handle it in a way like they handled it in Acts chapter 6. It was an issue. It was a fire, right? It was a fire. And what do? They poured water on it. How do they pour water on it? With deacons. They said, there's an issue here. There's a problem here. We're going to solve it so that we can serve these widows and continue on in prayer and ministry of the word, right? So they meet the needs of the body. They support the ministry of the church, and they maintain the unity of the church. And there, on the bottom of your paper there, I put, this is an area, our church, that our elders feel like we need to grow. It's something we feel like we need to do. We're not doing this well. We've been meeting, discussing, and praying over this issue for months, okay? Literally, months. We've been talking about every option, okay? And I would tell you, before the end of 2022, we're going to be presenting a plan for the church to approve us moving forward and installing deacons. And here's the question I've gotten As we've been kind of, I've leaked this a little bit in membership class and members meeting and stuff like that. Here's the question I keep getting. Why are you doing this now? Which I think is a great question, okay? Why are you doing this now? Here we are, church has been around for 20 years. I've been here for pastor for a little over 9. Like, why would we do this now? Well, here's why we would do it now. Because as we look at our body, we see some areas where we feel like we're neglecting you, that we're not serving you as well as we could. And we believe that this is a good step toward serving the church better. When I think about, and look, I've served churches of all different sizes, okay? And I've served churches of all different structures. Again, I grew up Southern Baptist and served Southern Baptist churches that have, usually they have a pastor, they have some deacons, they have a bunch of committees, and then they have business meetings where they make decisions. I remember a church was, we didn't have any high chairs. We needed some high chairs. We had some babies in our church, and I went to a deacon's meeting, and I was like, hey, I think we need to buy some high chairs. We were having like a dinner that Wednesday night. I was like, you guys mind if I run to Walmart and get some high chairs? And they're like, no, we'll have to wait till after the business meeting to vote on that. And I said, we're going to vote on buying high chairs? And they said, yep. And I said, who y'all think is going to say no to high chairs? And they said, doesn't matter. We vote on stuff. And I was like, okay. Here's the deal. Some churches, their structure impedes their ability to do ministry. That makes sense? It's like if you're a, there's just support poles everywhere. Like you're supposed to be in a warehouse, but you're always going around, you know, you make things harder to get things done because there's so much structure. It's not that the structure's bad, but structure impedes the ability to do ministry because the structure's everywhere. And then there are churches that don't have enough structure, okay? Like the roof's kind of sagging. That's how we would describe Capstone Church, okay? We feel like our roof's sagging a little bit. Sometimes there is too much structure and it impedes the work of ministry. And where there isn't enough structure, there's a lack of support in ministry. And that's what we want to fix, okay? We feel like, man, like we could be so much better at serving you, so much better at serving this community by having deacons that lead ministry teams that help us accomplish the work of ministry better, okay? So it's not a liberal slant. We're not becoming more of whatever. We really feel like we could serve one another better, and the Bible has a way to do that. It's called deacons, right? So we want to lead us to do that. That's why, okay? Believe it or not, that's why we're doing this. And we feel like it'll help us be more, follow the example of the Bible better, okay? So that's where we're going, and that's what we're doing. And that's all I got for you today. Again, I told you it felt like a lecture, okay? But really, I hope what you hear is we want to be a church that seeks to live out the gospel and seeks to live according to the scriptures together. And where we see things in our church that we think are blind spots or we're missing the mark on something, we want to fix that, okay? And I also do want to say publicly, and I'm going to pray, I'm really grateful for Andy Guy, one of our elders, and for Bradley Davis in beating this drum for us, okay? I really am. Sometimes when you're sitting in the seat that I sit in, if I'm driving the bus, okay, which don't go too far with that analogy, but if I'm driving the bus, my eyes are on the road, okay? I'm worried about not running off the road and not running over someone and that kind of thing. I'm worried about the things that are right in front of me, preaching the Bible, taking care of people's needs, counseling people, those kind of things. I'm just right here. I don't really always have enough time to look around, okay? And I'm one of the things I'm glad for in some of our and our elders is they help look around and they help go, hey, I think we might need to look at this. You know what I mean? And I praise God for those brothers doing that because they've helped us. And all of our elders have helped us sort of figure this out. But those guys were beating the drum on that. And so I praise God for that. And I hope that we do these things so that we can serve Jesus better and we can serve one another better and we can serve our community better. So that's the hope and that's the goal. Would you join me as we pray? Yeah, Lord, thank you for, again, I'm grateful, even though, again, this feels like such a lecture. My takeaway, God, is that you care deeply about your church, and you didn't just say, hey, figure it out. But you've given us instruction, and we want to follow that instruction. We want to follow it gladly and faithfully. So, Lord, I pray you'd help us to do that. And Lord, I pray that, I pray again, your spirit would fill in the gaps on a sermon like this, like you always do, to show us how we can respond correctly to your word. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.